were bored at times. Generally good. Morale didn't really get bad until after we were pulled back up around Lewis, and we were on a new defensive position there. That would be the winter of 41-42, late fall 41, early 42, maybe that long, when rations were bad.
That was really a low part of the war.
That's when all the ships were being sunk, and you couldn't get a new battle dress, and you had to patch your battle dress, and hard to get a new pair of shoes, and barely had enough to eat. I can recall the days when I was with A Company in Lewis, and we were feeding in the headquarters mess. Well, I'm going to say the headquarters of the company.
What about St. Louis? I've been there, and I like it very much. I know it well.
Well, the battalion headquarters was down near the jail. We were in the company headquarters, and our main area for barracks was out at the old racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
But we were in town at the company headquarters. But the only problem was, we got the last of the rations, and the men at the headquarters ate first, and the officers ate what was left. So we sat down to many a meal in the evening that was perhaps a bit of boiled cabbage and a potato and nothing else to eat.
Really?
So we would get up from the dining room table and go down the high street and go into every pub and buy all the sandwiches we could get our hands on.
I hope you didn't tell the British civilians what happened.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Told them we were just hungry.
Mm, hungry Canadian boys. How about your relations with the people in Lewis and the surrounding area?
That's hard for me to say. I didn't have time to have much to do with
them.
Mm-hmm. They had such a routine going that you could be on duty 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Between duty platoon, duty officers, stand to, night training,
mm-hmm.
And officer study periods. I can recall many occasions there were 7 straight nights that you had something to do.
Really?
And there was no time off.
Up when you went to a pub or on night off?
That would be on the night off. You perhaps had a few hours, so you prepared your... Normally, even though you're in defense, you carried on a certain amount of training allied to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go to your defensive area and carry on your training in that vicinity. So there again, one had the problem of making sure that you were ready for whatever you were going to do the next day. So in the evening hours after you had had dinner, you normally swatted up what you had to do, and you perhaps an hour out to walk down to the pub to get a sandwich and maybe a glass of beer or a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, because of the routine, you were in bed by 10 o'clock and up on the go first thing in the morning.
Did you find this stifling at all? This?
Well, no. I suppose if you're young
mm-hmm.
and you're learning.
And you want to be there, don't you?
And you're a volunteer. It didn't bother me.
Your position, you were in A Company, you said?
A Company.
You were commanding a platoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was your company commander?
Jack Maters.
What did you think of him? Did you like him?
I'd rather not answer that question in any detail.
Okay. What about the battalion commander this time?
Well, Sherwood Lett had taken command of the battalion, and he was an extremely competent officer.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who really got officer training underway, got doctrine underway. And at the same time, he was the one, when rations were bad, took action to sort of stop, which was almost a near riot in A Company, and bring it to the attention of the higher authorities that they better improve the rations or there was going to be real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
So your opinion of him is as a good officer?
Oh, I think he was excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Why was he replaced?
He was promoted to command of brigade.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
That's when Merritt came in after, I guess.
Yeah.
I won't get to that just yet. How long were you with A Company?
Only a few months. Then I was sent down for a very short stay with C Company, which was Claude Orme's company.
Mm-hmm. Again, as a platoon?
As a platoon officer.
Uh-huh.
And from there I went to D Company as a platoon officer.
Why the shuffle?
I think this was basically... I was never told why the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was basically where the shortage of officers were and where they felt you could perhaps fit in the best and do the most good.
And I suppose you're one of the more experienced officers.
I would say yes. To give you an illustration, I was the only officer in the battalion prior to this, of the time we're talking about now with Sherwood Lett, who had a complete detail of how a battalion operated in the night attack. And I gave this to the commanding officer, and this became part of the teaching period for the officers.
That is rather illuminating, isn't it?
Well, I would say the standard of knowledge they had of battalion tactics at that time was very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
and the knowledge of the company commanders and how to direct and train a company was quite limited.
Mm-hmm. And was it to improve greatly in the next period of time?
Not basically. I found this when the younger officers came along that things improved.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that can be attributed to the fact that they had been trained somewhat in Canada beforehand, whereas these officers really didn't have a chance to get training.
That's right. The militia officer who mobilized with his battalion, went overseas with his battalion, didn't seem to have achieved much, say, from mobilization till the time I joined them.
Mm-hmm. They had been sent to the coast, and they had been doing that primarily from that time. Mm. Okay, you said you were shuffling around a bit. What happened after you left? Was it D Company?
I went to D Company. That's where I had my first experience of going on exercises, real experience.
Mm-hmm. What exercise was this?
Oh, I can't recall the names of them. First major exercise we went on, I was told I was the traffic control platoon for the battalion.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what's that? I've never heard of it before. And my company commander said, oh, he said, you just get on a truck with your platoon, and you'll know the route, and if you think somebody's going to go off the route, you just drop somebody there and tell that man to tell the battalion to head the direction you want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what if I make a mistake myself and get off the route? Oh, he said, no problem. He said, as long as you know, he said, and you divert them back on, that's all right. So this we did, and I made a mistake. Went to the jog, came back on the main route. Could have corrected it, because I had lots of time, but didn't, in view of my briefing.
Mm-hmm.
At the debriefing after the exercise, the brigade major asked what stunned so-and-so had done this detour and why.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first lesson I had in don't always believe what you're told. And then the next time I went on an exercise, and this was when, of course, by this time, C. Smerit had arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And we were warned for the exercise, and I was out training my platoon, and I was hauled into company headquarters. And I had been told that I was perhaps going to exercise as second in command of the company. Arrived in the company headquarters, and the colonel was there, and Major McTavish, my company commander, and they said, you're going to command this company on the exercise, and Major McTavish is going as an umpire. Mm-hmm. So here I am, a subaltern. I've never been on a major exercise in life commanding a company.
Were they trying to test you specifically, or?
I think this was part of a testing system.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a rough exercise, I think it's one of the Beaver exercises, one of the early ones.
And what sort of level was it held, brigade or division?
Division level.
Division.
We marched and countermarched, I know, across the valley, and for 3 nights I never went to bed, never got my shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it'd be the fourth day of the exercise when we were doing a withdrawal. It was pouring buckets, and I halted the battalion for its break at 7 o'clock in the morning, or not the battalion, my company.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the batman, make sure I'm awake in 10 minutes from now so we can move again. I don't remember anything except when my batman shook me. I was laying right down where I'd stopped on the tarmac.
Mm-hmm.
Soaking wet, the batman said, sir, we've been here 20 minutes. Don't you think we better go? So we routed everybody up. And late that day, they picked us up by trucks, and we went back to the downs. I can recall once my company was down and fed, I crawled into a haystack and I said, don't let any SOB disturb me.
How long did you sleep?
Oh, I think about 8 hours.
That's all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where I was routed out, I guess, for the move back to camp. But the upshot of that was when they held the post-mortem of the exercise, old Merritt said, you did a very good job, you'll do. So I guess, as you say, that's how they tested one. I found this is how one was tested many times later on.
Mm-hmm.
I found the same thing as liaison officer at a division. I found the same thing as liaison officer at the Salt Brigade headquarters before D-Day. They always gave you some weird job to test you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a good idea?
It's a hard way.
Mm-hmm.
It basically means that can the man rely upon himself and use his judgment in a tight situation?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would weed some people out who are perhaps slow learners who don't have a quick intuitive grasp of situations.
but it could also weed out people who would not necessarily be bad or inefficient in that role.
That's right.
Just like this Abscam scam in the States,
yeah.
Weeding out criminals by faking a crime that may not ever blot their life.
But that's right.
Yeah.
Because when I went to divisional headquarters, I had the same thing. I was told to jump into one of these wireless equipped 3-ton trucks, command vehicle, and proceed to a crossroads and do traffic control because two brigades were going to be crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had never heard of being taught a thing in my life about traffic control except my limited experience as a platoon traffic control officer.
Mm-hmm.
So I arrived at the crossroads and soon found out why I was there when you've got two brigades going in opposite directions. So we kept that mess sorted out until the last vehicle and man was through.
Mm-hmm. How did you manage it? You stand at the crossroads?
I stood at the crossroads and used my common sense.
Mm-hmm.
I realized by this time what was happening to me, because there's always a time gap between packets.
Mm-hmm.
I had a wire to set back to divisional headquarters, and I was able to report progress. So I guess just by good luck and good management, we kept the thing from being snarled.
And were you given credit for this? And
yes, They said I did a good job.
Let's talk about Merritt for a second. Before he won the VC, okay, before he got the reputation and all, he was a C-4th, wasn't he?
C-4th, that's correct.
Yeah. What was he like when you first met him? What impression did he leave upon you?
A very autocratic, self-assured young man.
Mm-hmm. He knew precisely what he wanted and how to do it.
He thought he knew how to do it, but I don't think he understood the prairie temperament.
Mm-hmm. Was he from the coast?
He was from Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Did you like him?
That's a difficult question to say in retrospect whether I like the man. One doesn't necessarily like a CO.
Mm-hmm.
You either respect him for his competence.
Mm-hmm.
I disliked him for a lot of the things he personally involved me in and gave me hell for, which I had nothing... no occasion to have had anything to do with things that had happened 6 months before I was given hell about.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, things that happened before I ever joined the regiment myself. An example. At this time, McTavish had made me his acting 2IC.
Mm-hmm.
I went from junior subaltern of the regiment to a captain's appointment as an acting second in command, but still as a subaltern.
Mm-hmm.
And they were arguing back and forth of whether I'd ever be promoted. And he was refusing to take any senior lieutenant over me. So I was doing this job, and I can recall Merritt having a meeting on the administrative problems. And he gave me hell about things and bicycles and things that had been lost from the company 6 months before I ever joined it. And I used to go back to my company commander and say, you can stuff this appointment, or it'll do you the most good. I want to go back and command my platoon. And he had a quiet little... and he used to say, I'd see it come across his face and he'd say, just carry on. So I ended up being administrative officer and the training officer.
Mm-hmm. And what was Merritt's reasoning behind chewing you up for things you had no...
Oh, I think it was just generally to jack the whole regiment up administrative-wise as well as training-wise.
Mm-hmm. You think there was a method to his madness?
It is hard to say. I would say he lacked, in my personal view, from my point as a subaltern, he lacked the finesse of man management to know how to get the best out of that bunch.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, we were given a sandwich for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
That was to be carried with us. But shortly after, we were allowed back into camp so the men could have hot soup and a sandwich for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But the officers were not to have either the hot soup or tea or anything for their lunch. So after some objections that were raised through, I guess, the major level, it was decided we could now enter the mess and have a hot cup of tea. So we'd go into the mess, into the dining room to have this hot cup of tea, along with our old cheese sandwich or whatever it might be. And Merritt would come in and give everybody hell about what was going wrong with training, and every officer would pick up his cup of tea and walk out.
Leave him by himself.
And we had a custom in the regiment that he was only... said, good morning, sir, and saluted once in the morning when near the mess, and that was it. He expected everybody to jump to attention every time he bobbed in and out.
Mm-hmm.
This, you might say, meant was sort of silent mutiny.
Just sort of letting him know.
And everybody disappeared as quickly as possible whenever he showed.
Did he catch on to this, or?
I have no way of knowing.
Well, did his attitude towards the regiment change at all?
Not perceptibly from where I worked, because I was never in close contact with him,
yeah.
Except at a conference, and that was usually when you were getting raked over the coals about something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had been with a gymnastic team before the war, he said, Edmondson, he said, do you know something about climbing beach walls and how to fall on your head? He said, there's 16 feet beach walls out there. I want you to teach people how to get up and down these walls.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell did I know about getting up and down a 16 feet foot high beach wall? All I could teach them was, all right, if you've got to jump, how you can roll and tumble when you're down on the ground,
mm-hmm.
which I did. Naturally, of course, at this time we had the British instructors because we were training for Dieppe.
We're doing combined ops, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. And we learned the techniques of how to get up the obstacles. But this raises an interesting point. We used to go for briefings, I guess it would be in East Cowes. After we were being briefed on Dieppe, and they had to send the big model there,
mm-hmm.
and all these problems of how you cross the obstacles and get up the beach wall. And I raised the point several times, oh, why don't they give us scaling ladders? I said, that's something as old as their warfare is old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't believe the hassle we had to get scaling ladders made up and granted to us to get up those beach walls.
Mm-hmm. What was that? Well, why did they object to it?
I have no idea why. I was finally told to shut up and be quiet.
When did Merritt take over the regiment?
I can't be precise as to when Merritt took over.
Mm-hmm.
I think perhaps there might have been an interim period when Wright left, when the 2IC was acting CO, and before he arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be sure of that from memory.
Was there sufficient time, do you think, for him to become acclimatized to the regiment before Dieppe occurred?
Well, let's put it this way. I would say in retrospect, yes, because lots of people were subbed in commanding regiments in war who had less time than he.
Mm-hmm. And taking into consideration the time factor, do you think he did a good enough job?
Oh, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I don't think there's anything basically wrong with his knowledge, his ability to command and direct.
Mm-hmm.
If he had a shortcoming, as I mentioned, he'd been an RMC, and his attitude was that of an autocratic officer, which didn't rest well
mm-hmm.
with the Prairie Boy.
Tell me, do you know offhand how the men, the other ranks, looked at Merritt?
They didn't particularly cotton to him until after Dieppe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, based on Dieppe, you'll find their whole approach to him has changed.
Yeah, because the past memories are somewhat colored from what happened after.
I would think so. People remember the brave things he did.
Mm-hmm.
One could also be critical of some of the things he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say in the main he showed more courage than the average man would ever show.
Yeah. Again, the qualities of leadership came out at that particular time.
That is correct.
Yeah.
They missed some of the basic fundamentals of command.
Mm-hmm.
An example, if you move your battalion headquarters, then, for a period of time, you should leave a runner there and tell them where to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Because later on, and in the withdrawal, and I, with a number of men, did the rear guard action on our side of the beach, and when we tried to find battalion headquarters to get further orders, it had disappeared, and we had no knowledge where they were.
Yeah. Merritt had taken off at this time.
They had gone, completely gone.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about combined ops training. Before Dieppe. When did you first come in contact with him? Where?
Well, I guess first thing rumblings we heard were when we were in Lewis, our group were to be trained as a Viking force.
Mm-hmm.
That quickly disappeared, and then we went to the island in the spring of 42.
That's John of White.
Yeah. To do combined op training.
Mm-hmm.
We were told that these commanders would teach us all about combined op training. I would say, in essence, other than a couple of techniques of how to get over the beach wall and how to get out of an assault craft in 19 seconds, they didn't teach us anything.
Yeah. were about hand-to-hand combat, to knife fighting, nothing like that?
Most of that, by this time, we were knowledgeable ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Was this done purely on the battalion level? Was it just the SSRs down there, or were there other...
Oh, no, the Camerons were there and the FMRs were there.
Mm-hmm. So the entire 2nd Division was down doing training?
Well, I can only recall within our own brigade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall the others or where they were. I knew because the Camerons and the FMRs, all our brigade, we used to meet at various times, and you got to know the officers of some of the officers of the other battalions, and when we went to these briefings, they'd be there.
Mm-hmm. Who was the brigadier at this time, your brigade?
Oh, my God. That's... can't think of his name. Is that Sutherland?
I don't know. I thought he was a guy in command.
No, I can't recall. He was the one who was captured, anyhow.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you what your opinion of him was.
I have no knowledge of him.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Okay, so you didn't really learn that much at Combined Op?
No, I think a lot of the things we did, we developed ourselves by trial and error.
Mm-hmm. We given a great chance to put into practice what you would soon learn. Was there a lot of practice involved?
Oh, yes. And there were some rehearsal landings, which were an absolute shambles.
Up in the north of Scotland, I think.
No, on the south coast.
Mm-hmm.
We landed twice on the south coast. Once we were about 5 miles off.
Mm-hmm.
Another time we were reasonably close to the proper beach. On one of the exercises, we walked right through the minefields.
A real live mine?
We were, yeah. I can recall we were in the middle of it when they hollered halt. And they said, you're in a minefield. Well, we said, they might just as well keep going ahead as come back.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through.
And nothing happened?
Nothing.
Yeah. Were the operations or the practice runs done at the brigade level?
That I can't tell you for sure, but I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. And
you see, basically, when you're at the company level, it's hard to know other than what your own battalion is doing.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get sort of a feel of...
I can't. I wouldn't... Itself. My memory failed me. I couldn't tell you whether everybody was there or not.
Yeah. What about the landing craft, and how did you manage with that?
Well, we were trained in both the small assault craft, which carried roughly 35 men,
mm-hmm.
and a MLC, military landing craft, I think it was called, which carried roughly 100 men.
Mm-hmm.
And we trained in both, and we did one landing on a rehearsal. In a very rough sea, the Navy said it's too rough to land, and the Army said land anyhow, it's good training for them. And the waves, the bow on this thing must stand 8 feet plus tall.
Mm-hmm.
The waves were breaking over it, and we were knee-deep in water. And I can recall my job on these exercises, second in command, was to carry the company rum issue. And that became quite a task of, you might say, staggering up all the gangways and getting into this assault craft and getting ashore without breaking the rum.
Was it in a wooden keg?
No, it was in 26-ounce bottles.
How many?
I had about 5 or 6 of them I had to carry.
And you had to carry it yourself?
Yeah.
In addition to your rifle and your pack and all?
That's right. I didn't carry a rifle. I carried a pistol
in
my pack.
Mm-hmm.
Had all the rum stats wherever I could in my pockets inside my battle dress, but I was in my hand.
Did it break any?
No.
I guess you would have been in for it if you had broken something.
It'd be worth my life if I hadn't had the rum issue.
Yes, I guess it would have been. That's what I was going to ask you about combined ops. So on the whole, it wasn't really a... it was worthwhile, was it?
It was worthwhile. It was hard training, rigorous training.
Yeah.
Physically demanding. You know, speed marches, running, PT, climbing up and down walls, climbing up and down chalk cliffs. We had a toggle rope that you used to carry around you for emergencies, and you would try to do your, 5 miles in 55 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and climb a 100-foot cliff with a 75-pound box of ammunition strapped across your back.
Sounds like commando training.
Same idea.
Yeah. When was this being done, this initial combined op?
It was being done in, say, as near as I can recall, May, June, 42, up
mm-hmm.
to July. July was the first time we were to go, and it was aborted because we sat in the ships off the Isle of Wight and they were bombed. Our ship was not bombed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other ships was bombed and it was called off and we went back to England.
Mm-hmm. So before you got in the ships for the initial try, were there any inklings that you would be going to Dieppe?
Oh, we knew. We
so
knew.
Even before?
You oh, yeah. The officers knew.
Was that not a breach of security?
Not really, because when you've got the the maps, mm-hmm. and you've got the model, and you're in the ship ready to go, you have to know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say people knew prior to going aboard the mothership for the actual move in July, that everyone would be aware that it was DM. Mm-hmm.
But they had seen what was a fortified, well, at least was a town or a city.
That's right.
And they knew the sea walls.
That's right.
What I was going to ask you about, do you have any experience landing on a coast with the shale that was on Dieppe?
Negative.
Nothing at all in Isle of Wight, Scotland?
No.
When you were being briefed, were you told that the beach would be landing would be shale?
We were told that there was sort of a pebble beach at Dieppe proper, and the armor would get over that by using these fascines, which are the bales of, I guess you would call them pickets, that had been lashed together with wire, and the idea was they were to drop and form a carpet. We were told that the underwater, if you want to say the underwater surface of the earth, of the ground, of the what would be the beach at very extremely low tide, was too rocky at Poorville, which was our assault area, to take tanks or to put a craft in there, to put tanks ashore at our beach. It was bad intelligence. They could have put them ashore at our beach.
That's in retrospect as well. Yeah. Okay, so I suppose once you're on the ships, the assault is called off. Everyone is fully aware, including the other ranks, that Dieppe was the destination. Where'd you go after that? You went on leave, didn't you?
We went back to England. Leave was granted. Mm-hmm. I don't think I went on leave that particular time, because by this stage, as the 2IC, you're busy doing everything. You know, you've got to get it. You had all your 1098 ammunition that had to be restocked and checked out, all the things that go with accounting.
Mm-hmm.
2IC is always a busy man after the event.
Yeah. How long was it before you were called back?
I would say, just 4 to 5 weeks before we knew it was on again.
Mm-hmm.
It was put on under the guise of an exercise.
Mm-hmm. Was this just sort of flimsy guise? Did you know?
Well, knowing where we were going and listening to the briefing, I had a suspicion, especially when we were told to load our 1098 on our trucks and take it with us. So I simply asked my company commander, I said, does everything we do and everything we take have to be completely battle-ready and operational? And he looked at me, paused, that little grin came on his face, and he said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew.
Did he know at that time?
He knew. He had been briefed.
When you first heard that, what did you think?
Didn't have time to think.
No,
we were too busy getting ready because the exercise was coming on, and by the time everything is briefed and the equipment is out and loaded and all the rest of the jazz,
mm-hmm.
we're in the vehicle the next day and off to the... suddenly we go down into Portsmouth, I guess it was, and there we are aboard the ship again.
Mm-hmm. Once you get there, wasn't there the talk amongst the officers, my God, they're redoing this again.
Oh,
security's
yes.
blown.
Well,
what's going to happen?
Well, no, nobody, I think, was too concerned about security because you're too busy with the problem in hand,
mm-hmm.
Which was, A, getting people aboard, getting them settled, and then we were given all the Sten guns and things were handed to us in crates covered in grease.
Mm-hmm. You had to clean them, get them.
So we had to try to clean them, and you weren't allowed to test them for firing. And, of course, you get all your grenades. You've got to clean your grenades and prime them and get everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
So there was little time to worry about many things. And I think between that, and then they were briefed again.
Mm-hmm.
This was the operation was on. And away we went.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, at the briefings, were you told why the operation was being put into effect, or were you just told that it was being put into effect?
I have no recollection of any explanation why it was being put in, just that we were going.
I suppose they really don't offer explanations about the levels, do they? No.
Not to those who were going to do it.
No, you find out later. Did you have any thoughts about... You knew it was to be a raid and nothing more than that.
Oh, yes.
Any thoughts yourself at the time, not in retrospect, that you can remember?
No, it was a... they had camouflaged the... mothership with Hessian to make it look other than what it was. In other words, you couldn't see the decks,
mm-hmm.
the promenade decks, you know, the various level of decks. So you wouldn't necessarily know it was a sort of a small passenger ship.
Mm-hmm. But you were in convoy, weren't you?
Pardon me?
You were in a convoy then.
Well, yeah, we, well, when we got out to sea, we formed up in convoy.
Yeah.
And I don't think we thought much about it because we were still busy.
Mm-hmm.
Until, I still don't recall how. No. It was quiet. Pleasant evening.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we weren't allowed aboard, you know, troops weren't allowed out of their deck until we went up to go aboard the assault craft. And when we were lowered, of course, the craft went down, a lot of people went down scrambling up, some went straight into the craft and vice versa. It was a beautiful warm evening,
mm-hmm.
and quite pleasant. And then we'd only been in our, we were in an LCM, the company I was with,
mm-hmm.
D Company.
You were still platoon leader there.
I was second in command.
Oh, that's right, yes. Okay.
Headed for the shore, where we were, for Pourville,
mm-hmm.
when all of a sudden all the tracer broke loose, and we said, good God, we've been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we soon found the tracer was off to our flank, and that's the historic thing where
convoy.
I think some the convoy ran ran across some German ships, and, but they didn't really suspect what it was.
Yeah. But still, it was sort of an omen of sorts, I suppose.
Well, it made one think. We were just a bit, I think, a bit behind schedule on landing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the, I want to leave the Dieppe talk for next time. I think we've talked for quite some time, if that's all right
yeah.
with you. The men themselves, how were they adjusting to it? Were they just eager to get at it, or?
I think, like anybody else, they knew it was there. They volunteered to fight, they were prepared to fight, and they were well trained and ready to go.
No problem with morale?
None whatsoever. I don't think I've ever served with a group of men
mm-hmm.
who were better motivated and better trained than they were at that time.
I suppose it was 2 years of training, more than 2 years of training.
That's right.
Leading up to this one point.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say we lacked, in retrospect, one can learn a lot more about tactical concepts and understand them better and how to employ them
mm-hmm.
and how to utilize all kinds of weapons. But I would say, at the company level, we couldn't have been better trained.
Mm-hmm. Before we end up today, what about your company officer? Who was he?
Major McTavish.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of him?
Very fine man. Very fine man.
As a man and an officer?
Yes. I wouldn't say he was extremely knowledgeable. He was like, he was an older militia officer
mm-hmm.
who had not mastered all the intricacies of weapon training and platoon tactics.
Okay, let's end it right there then, shall we?
Mm-hmm.